Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified.
Secondly, he says, beware of these evil workers. Evil workers. Now, there's no doubt these false teachers thought of themselves as good workers. They thought they were doing something good for God. They thought they were doing something beneficial. Like Paul in the past, who thought he was doing good, but in truth, he was kicking against the goads. You remember what Jesus said to him in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads? Why was he doing those things? Because he thought he was doing what was right. These brethren need to be taught the truth of God's word so that they repent and get their hearts right. You know what? A lot of times we're not willing to speak up against the one who's teaching error, but we never tell them that they're wrong either. We don't tell them that they need to listen to what the word says so that they can be saved. Their soul is worth saving. So we ought to be willing to tell them that they thought they were doing good. Paul says their works are evil. And that's an amazing thing. The Jews were known for being zealous. In fact, many times in Scripture, we see their zeal. You might think of David. Let's take the ark back. Let's get it back. Let's worship God. Put it on the new cart. No, that cost Uzzah his life. Why'd they do that? They were zealous. They were on fire. And that's true in the New Testament. There's many times in the Scripture we see that. Paul's own actions show it. He was creating havoc in the church. He was causing harm to brethren because he thought he was doing what was right. Even though he acted in all good conscience, he was wrong. And it's something that stuck with him all his life. What about the Pharisees? Jesus said that the Pharisees would cross land and sea. They would do whatever it took. They would go anywhere that they were asked to go. They would travel the world to try to make a proselyte. But when they did, they made it twice the son of hell. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 15. Paul described his own countrymen, his fellow Israelites, in Romans chapter 10, 1 and 2. He said they had a zeal for God, but they were lacking knowledge. They were zealous. You know, some people are zealous today, especially young converts in the church. Many times they're zealous. They want to do, they want to go, they want to be involved. And, you know, sometimes we help them and sometimes we don't. You know, it's good if we'll take them and teach them and hold them close by and mentor and develop them. But so often what happens, a lot of places, oh, this guy's interested, he wants to work. I was working with a congregation one time, the man obeyed the gospel, and the first thing they want to do is have him teach the teenage class. And I was like, no. Especially not teaching young people, all right? Let him be a helper. Let him learn. Let him assist. He can read Scripture. He can learn from somebody who is a good Bible teacher, who can show them what the Bible says and how to deal with questions that are going to come up, especially in a teenage class. They're going to ask some tough questions. Mom and dad aren't around. They're going to talk about some tough things that they're afraid to ask mom and dad. You got to be willing to answer some questions, and you got to answer it from a biblical perspective. You do not need an infant in Christ Jesus teaching that group of people. It's not what we need. I know they're zealous, but they don't have the knowledge yet. We have to train and develop them. Well, that's what those Pharisees and the Israelites were, zealous people. And we don't condemn them for being zealous. We want people to be zealous. In fact, Jesus purified for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The second chapter of Titus, verses 11 through 14. We ought to be zealous, but it's with knowledge. And these brethren were zealous for the wrong things, circumcision. These Judaizers were zealous to get people to follow the old law. They thought it was necessary for salvation. And so they were binding where God has not bound. You've heard that phrase before, I'm sure. Usually it's things about service times or worship times or the color of the carpet or whatever. People typically bind things that are not bound. And certainly we could talk about more spiritual nature things. But we shouldn't bind where God has not bound. And nor should we loose where God has not loosed. If you remember in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16, Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And we have Peter's response, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus made a great statement there. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah." But because God had revealed this to them. And he said, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, literally, it says, whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. It's a picture of the inspiration. God's word is already settled, and now it's brought down to man, and what they're preaching and teaching is what God would have them preach and teach. And it binds things and it looses things. There are things that are right with God. There's things that are wrong with God. It's not based on us. Remember what Paul told the church at Ephesus, the elders there. It's the word of God that guides and directs our lives. And so as we look at this, we want people to be zealous, but we cannot bind where God has not bound. We cannot loose where God has not loosed. And we're not going to go into discussion of those things. We talked about some of those in a previous series of classes, so we're not going to do that today. But Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 30, verse 6, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, and other places all deal with this idea that you cannot add to or take away from the Word of God. We have to do what He would have us say. So their zeal is misplaced. And the reason it's misplaced is because they're evil actions. They're contrary to the Word of God. Today, if you point out sin and error of the false teacher, it will cause some people to be angry with you. I could start naming off brethren right now who are teaching error, and I promise it's going to bring negativity from some in the world because they're going to look at it and say, "Why, that is so hateful." No. If you have a rattlesnake in your midst and I tell you that's love, if I'm a farmer and I see that the mountain lion is amongst your livestock and I call you on the phone and tell you to bring your rifle and come on, that is love. That is not hatred. You're warning them for their own protection. And so we need to make sure we understand that. These men are evil because their actions are evil. They're going in the wrong direction. They're working for Satan. They have misunderstood love and sound doctrine. 2 John 9 through 11, when we get to that point in our Sunday evening, Wednesday evening study, we're going to see that you can't have the Father and the Son unless you have the doctrine of Christ. If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. They're already lost. Why wouldn't we tell them? They're already lost. They're already gone. People are so afraid to talk about these things. Don't be afraid. Warn your brother. Warn your sister. Tell them you love them and show them the truth. Jesus would tell us that a tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 7, verse 17 and 18. We learn that we're going to reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap eternal life. We're going to reap what we sow. Galatians 6, verses verse 7 through 9. Folks, we can't pretend that something that's evil is acceptable. We can't just go along and get along. We can't hold hands and sing kumbaya and act like everything's great. Folks, we have to make sure we stand up for God's word. We can't bid them Godspeed. I didn't talk about that in 2 John 9 through 11. But we're not to greet them, welcome them in our home, and then send them on their way like everything's fine. Now, if they were to come to my home, I would have an obligation to talk to them about their soul. I would have a responsibility to warn them of the impending doom. Folks, when we see false doctrine, and we see a teacher presenting that false doctrine, we need to warn them about the error being taught and about the person that's teaching it. And I know the world doesn't understand that, but our prayer is that teachers of the gospel will be zealous, but they'll be zealous with knowledge. And they'll preach the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll not only tell the good things, but they'll stand up against the wicked. We have to have that commitment. Regardless of how good a speaker someone may be, or how kind, or how funny, or the stories they tell, or how well-known, or likable someone may be. If they're teaching error, we must stand against that error. They must be exposed. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them in the King James, expose them in the New King James. We're letting people know. We're shining the light on the error and the person spreading that error to help save the souls of the brethren. We have to recognize this false doctrine. We have to recognize the false teacher, and we need to make sure we understand these are evil works and evil workers, just as Paul called out these Judaizers. Number three, in this one short verse, the third thing that he uses is this. He says, beware of the mutilation. Some translations, like the King James and the American Standard, use the word concision. The New American Standard uses this phrase, false circumcision. And the English Standard Version actually probably tells it the best, along with the New King James, and that is mutilate. It actually says in that translation, those who mutilate the flesh. All right, so by definition, the word here means an incision, to cut, or to mutilate the flesh. It's only used here. This is the only place it's used in the New Testament. In the next verse, when we get there next week, Lord willing, katatome, chapter 3, verse 3, is called the circumcision. Paul uses a different word here. It's peritome. And peritome, it's a word that's a little bit different. It means to cut around, or it actually literally is a round cut, to cut around or to cut down. And the idea is of a cutting, but not the circumcision. It's a different kind of cutting here. So the practice of the Jews was to circumcise their male children on the eighth day. That's when God told them to do it. We know why scientifically, because that's the day when the vitamin K is strongest after birth, and it means that the blood will clot and the child won't bleed out. Today, we do it almost immediately. Sometimes it's delayed based on things going on in the hospital, but the way we stop it is we give people an injection. We give that child an injection which stops the blood from pouring out, and it'll cause it to clot. But they did it in the old days on the eighth day for that reason, for the clotting. But rather than that practice, which is commanded, instead of circumcision, the word that's used, the concision or mutilation, is a word that was used of what the pagans did. It's a pagan worship rather than spiritual obedience to God's word like the Jews were supposed to do. They're following a pagan ritual of cutting, mutilating the body because it's no longer a part of the law. And so Paul didn't call these Jewish brethren to circumcision. He called them not the descendants of Abraham, which would what it meant to be circumcised, but this play on the words is that he's calling them those who are cutting their body like the pagans. And so they were wicked, evil zealots who were setting up their own condition of salvation. Some people do that today. They say, well, you're not faithful unless you do this. Who said that? Show me the scripture that says you have to do this in order to be saved. Show me that. Not everybody's going to agree on what you should do in your daily life. But you don't have to agree. But if it's something that God has dictated for the church, if he's laid it out for the home, then we don't have a choice. It's what God has said. Well, you have a choice, but the choice is either to do what's right or to be disobedient. That's your choice. But you can't change the practice that God has laid out. We have to follow it. And so they demanded circumcision of the Gentiles. And Paul is making it clear that rather than following the biblical pattern of the Jews, that is, in the past, they were really following a fleshly incision or a mutilation of the flesh. That old law had been nailed to the cross. It's no longer in effect. Colossians 2, 12 through 14, Hebrews chapters 7 through 10, and so on and so forth. The book of Galatians. Circumcision had nothing to do with salvation in Christ Jesus. There's a different kind of circumcision. Instead of being circumcised in the flesh, today it is a circumcision of the heart. Colossians 2 and verse 11. Our hearts are circumcised. That hardness, that wickedness, that sinfulness is taken away when we're baptized into Christ and His blood washes away our sins. We have a circumcision of the heart, not of the flesh. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said that there were some who were trying to make a good showing of the flesh by compelling others to be circumcised. You can't make a good showing. You can't put on a show or carry a certain image trying to make others think you're doing what's right if the act itself is not authorized by God. That's what some people today, they bring error into worship. And the thing they're trying to do is saying, well, I'm just pouring out my heart to God and God will accept it. God's going to accept my worship. Have you heard about Adam and Eve and their two sons, Cain and Abel? Abel died. Why did he die? Heart disease? Was it the COVID-19 virus 6,000 years ago? No. You know why he died? Because his brother killed him. Why did his brother kill him? Because God told him to offer a sacrifice. Abel did what he was supposed to do. Cain did not. God questioned him. Cain got angry. Cain talked to his brother. Cain talked to God. Cain still killed his brother. And today, Abel's blood still speaks. What does it speak? You obey God. So today, many people say, well, you know, I'm just going to add this or I'm going to do that. No. If it's not authorized, you cannot do this in worship. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It matters what God has said. And so bringing in circumcision is false doctrine. Now, you could be circumcised in the flesh for health reasons, and that's recommended many times in our world today. But that is not something that's done for a religious practice or to show you're a child of God. You are a child of God when you believe the gospel, you repent of your sins, you confess Jesus is the Lord of your life, and you are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, where the Lord adds you to the church, makes you a part of the family, and now you're a part of that seed promised to Abraham. Not by physical circumcision of the flesh, but of the spiritual circumcision of the heart. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. The truth is, all these people were doing was mutilating the body. That's what the phrase concision or mutilation is all about. So if we love God and we love our brethren, we have to warn them of error and we need to show them the source of the error. A lot of people will get mad today if you call out names. Folks, what are you supposed to do? I wouldn't generically say, you know, a rattlesnake bite, or even the worst, you know, a snake bite might hurt you. Is that going to help anybody? That's not going to help anybody. But if I say, there's a rattlesnake right here on this front pew, everybody stay away. Somebody go get a shovel. You would understand to stay away from that rattlesnake. Now, what does that Shark Week do for anybody here? We live, is there some ocean outside of our doors somewhere close? No, Shark Week, I know people love that, and we just passed. People watch it. They binge watch that stuff, love and watch those sharks. And there's nothing wrong with watching the sharks. But that warning doesn't help anybody in West Texas. You know, you have to warn people about what's really a threat. And the threat is those who teach error of the gospel. And there are plenty of them here in Odessa, Midland, Crane, Andrews, and so on and beyond, who teach error that will cost you your soul. Folks, we need to stand up for the truth. We need to let people know where the real errors are. We need to help people to see the truth so that they can be saved. We also want to talk to that false teacher. We want to show them the error of their ways in the hope that they will repent of their sins and come home. That's what we want. If we love them, we'll tell them the truth. Just like if we love our brethren, we'll tell them the truth. We want to teach people so that they can recognize false doctrine, but we also want them to recognize the one who's teaching the false doctrine. You need to know that the rattlesnake's bite is filled with poison, and that poison is deadly. But you need to know about the rattlesnake, not just its poison. So that's why we will name names from time to time. That's why we have to discuss these things, regardless of whether it's family or friends. Folks, we need to stand up on the truth. There is much that's taught in the world today that is in error. Things regarding salvation. There are things taught like, all I need to do is pray this prayer, which is not mentioned in Scripture anywhere. In fact, there is a man named Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when we meet him. In Acts chapter 9, he was told to go to the city, and it would be told him words by which he could be saved. And for 3 days, he sat there waiting for those words by which he could be saved. And while he did, he was praying. Paul was praying for 3 days. Did it save him? Nope. Ananias came to him, taught him the truth, showed him how it worked. Now, Paul was a student of the old scriptures. He just needed someone to guide him, to show him the right way. And in the conclusion of his discussion, he said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul was obedient. He was added to the Lord's church. He wrote about half the books in the New Testament, 13 of them. And he became a force that changed the world. And he's still changing the world 2,000 years later. Why? Because Ananias told him the truth. He told him what he needed to hear. Folks, we need to be a people who are willing to understand that there are dogs and evil workers and mutilators in the world. And what they need is someone to tell them the truth. And what our brethren need is someone to warn them about the message that's being taught that's erroneous and the person doing the teaching. If we do that, then we can help people know the truth that'll save their souls. And it will help those who are lost to come back home. That's what it's all about. It's about saving the souls of men. Might it be uncomfortable? Yes, it can be uncomfortable. Do you know what they did to the Apostle Paul when he told them the truth, right? In fact, where was he writing from? Prison. They would ultimately take off his head because he told them the truth. So let's be bold and courageous, and let's preach the truth. Let's tell people the truth. Let's warn them of the dangers that are around them so that they can be saved. We want everyone to go to heaven. We want them to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we're his children, we should want the same thing. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you need to become one. And as we stated just a moment ago, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must repent of our sins. We must confess him as Lord. We must be baptized into Christ. And then we must live faithfully. And if we stumble and fall, and we will, we've been studying in 1 John, and we've learned that all have sinned. And if we say that we do not sin, we're a liar. And the liars have their place in the lake that burns with fire. Revelation 21 and verse 8. And so if we've sinned, we need to come to God and repent of our sins and confess our sins. And he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, if you need to put on Christ in baptism, if you need the prayers of the church, if we can help you in any way, do not hesitate. I hope you'll heed the warning. Let us help you now as we stand and as we sing.
I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.